is
that I am surrounded
by an angelic army.
And they are all ready
to act on my behalf.
I need eyes to see.
I need ears to hear.
What your Holy Spirit
has in store for me.
There are so many
that don't understand
that the realm of spirit
is more real than this natural earth.
The realm of spirit
created everything
that I see,
that I feel,
that I touch,
that I experience with,
and I need an awakening.
Could I be destroyed tomorrow?
Yes, my spirit would leave.
But my body would go into the dirt.
Would I still be alive?
Would I be ready
for a resurrection day?
Because there will be one.
There'll be a resurrection day.
Jesus is my example.
Hallelujah.
I know that I will rise again
with a new body.
But I do believe
that it is the same Spirit
that took Jesus out of the grave.
And he's trying to pull me out now
of whatever grave clothes I'm wearing.
And I need the body of Christ,
just like Lazarus.
Somebody had to pull all that grave clothes off of him.
And I've still got quite a bit of grave clothes.
And it's got to go.
But somebody else
will be moved by God
to pour love into me
so that I can get rid of that grave clothes.
And I can be free.
Totally free.
In Jesus' name.
I was pressed this morning to go back to the words that the Lord released to us back on September 28th. If you saw the angelic army around you, you would be screaming. There are so many because they come with Gabriel and they've been waiting. They've been waiting because they are assigned to you. Did you hear that? Do you want me to repeat it?
Please.
If you saw the angelic army around you, you would be screaming. You have a copy of this, by the way. This is the word that came when the angel Gabriel came on September 28th. Okay? You see, we think we're alone. So much for your thinking. There are so many because they come with Gabriel and they've been waiting. They've been waiting because they are assigned to you here in Massachusetts. And they want to turn the battle. They want to, but they've been waiting until today because this feast is so important to God. Was Hanukkah important to the Lord? Was it important? Did he take time out? Or did he sit home and roll over in his bed? Cover up with a blanket and forget? No. He traveled all the miles that are from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem, and that's quite a trip, on foot. And he went. See, some people don't want to put themselves out. They don't want to go anywhere where there's going to be an effort. And I remember reading a book many years ago by John Paul Jackson, Character Above Giftedness.
Go where God tells you to go. Be there on time. You can't make believe that somebody else should be paying a price because you're late. And I had arguments with many people. Do you show up to work 3 days late? Do you show up to your job an hour late? Somebody else has got to cover for your butt. Where's your excuse? Oh, I'm sorry. I stayed overtime. That doesn't mean nothing. They've never run a company. I've run a company. John runs a company. The guy that belongs there at 8 o'clock shows up at 8:30. Who's going to get the rest of the work done? It's on your back. God's Holy Spirit is holding all of us accountable. Okay? For every perfection is God's plan. Okay? That spirit of excellence. You know, I really think that we have a lady already on the other side that's probably giving lessons. Mary Jo would tell you, get your butt in gear. Do it. Okay? I think that's what she's doing up there. Anyway, that's my opinion. So, the angels have been... They went baiting because they are assigned to you and they want to turn the battle. They want to turn the battle. They want to. But they've been waiting until today because this feast is so important. And these events and you guys coming and these 3 weeks of what I didn't understand and why everything has to move and why we've got to do these things that are being stretching us beyond belief. Because things are breaking and we have to understand and not lose hope. We need to run to the battle. And we need to break open our vessel. And we need to shout and lift our torches because you have the command. That's why God said to stand in your command and watch his hand over these years. Or for this year and next year, and you're going to see our nation turn around. Amen. I saw a little bit of the nation turning around on the news this morning, where a young man on CNN factually got fired for manipulating and doing what he should have never done. You know, we've got a history of watching people just laughing at God, laughing at the truth, lying to each other, and bringing destruction everywhere they go. So now I want to give you a little bit of the press that he gave me this morning. The appointed feast of Hanukkah. On Tuesday, I believe it was Tuesday, we went to John chapter 10, and the Feast of Dedication was brought up. Now, the history is kind of important because the Jewish people have the oldest Bible reading program in the world. It's actually 2,500 years old. Established around the time of Nehemiah. It's read among the Jews worldwide, and the weekly Bible reading includes a portion from the Pentateuch or the Torah and a portion from the prophets' writings, okay? And of course, there's a reality check on the scripture that was intended for the Feast of Dedication, which is John chapter 8, verse 12, and John chapter 9, verse 5. It also includes Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. So I want to at least go to John chapter 8, so that we will see what Jesus was involved in. Because again, why did he go to the feast? Because it was to recognize that there was a plan of God unfolding. And that plan is still unfolding. John chapter 8, verse 12. The validity of Jesus' testimony. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. So he responds, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I come from and where I am going. Now, when he says this, he's aware that he was sent from heaven. He was aware from the very beginning, and we see that literally when he declared when he was 12, I am about my Father's business. He had an awareness that his father was not Joseph. He was a positive awareness. Because again, he calls the Father God his dad at 12. That's an early age to recognize it. I realized that I came from heaven into my mother's womb when God started to push my buttons. And he showed me Jeremiah chapter 1. My beginning is not when I landed in this realm. Your beginning is not when you landed in this realm. You had a reality in the realm of the spirit, which is more real than this earth. And you need to be aware that you are a spirit being living in a body. And yes, the body can get you into trouble. Or the body can get into trouble and can't function, which now the body becomes a jail. The gentleman yesterday pointed that out. Now, it's been a year and a half and he still has to use a walker. And he's been going and doing all of the things that are to be done. Has he learned how great the God is that he serves? And the answer is yes. But he's a work in progress. And he doesn't like the process. But as the tears were rolling out of him yesterday, he was teaching everybody there. You think you know the Creator? Do you know the stealer who stole my health? Was God allowing me to be stolen from so I could come out on the other side a greater man? Is my test going to be in such a way that when I come through it, I will be prepared for the next level of my walk? That's the bottom line. Jesus responds, but you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. How do I respond when I judge? Am I judging from human standards? I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father. Isn't that cool? Who sent me? In other words, I'm really not happy about this trip here, but, you know, I'm on it. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two or three men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself and for the other witness is the Father who sent me. Two in agreement. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one sees him. No one seized him. No one touched him. Because his time had not yet come. My gentleman yesterday was speaking about that season, which was so difficult. And I didn't go through what he went through. But I could surely sympathize that he went through some stuff that I respect. I watched his ability to declare to all of us, you think you know your healer, you think you know your deliverer, until you've lived 6 months, rolled over by somebody else. Everything that you need to do or cannot do, you have to rely on someone else. You can't control your body at all. Everything comes out as it pleases. And you have to wait for someone to be able to ring the buzzer, because you don't have a buzzer you can ring. You know, if you switch places with that man for a couple of hours, you might be able to see just a little bit of what he went through. If we look at what Jesus chose to do and to stand against the religious people of his day, it gives you courage to stand against the religious people of our day. How many got a few religious people in? Yeah. Okay. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are full from below. Oh, God. Think about it. He's declaring them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sin if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. You see the judgment there? You see the ability of the Holy Spirit to speak truth and not to hesitate? Who are you, they? Just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. So I just want to skip over now to chapter 9, verse 5. Chapter 9, verse 5. I think we're better go with 4. As long as it is day, we must do the work who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Clear? I am the light of the world. Now skip over to Revelations chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. The purification process is ongoing. That's part of what you heard from different individuals this morning. That's why your background circumstances are important. What you go through and why you go through it is to bring purification, to eliminate the darkness as much as possible and as quickly as possible. And I pray that you never have to taste what this gentleman went through. But I listened and I read between the lines, just like I pray you do, that every test that you and I go through is ordained of Papa. It's been allowed so that you can mature and become better and stronger and more pure, so that he can use you, because that's what he's looking for. He's looking for vessels that he can trust. And when we realize that we are not always trustworthy, that's an awakening in itself. So ask for the grace of the difficult seasons that you're in, because those difficult seasons are designed so that you can awaken to the next level of his walk with you, because he wants to purify you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. And, you know, I smiled at him and I said, we're going to ask the Lord that, God willing, at the next leaders meeting, that you'll get rid of your wheels, because he has to use a walker. And I said, maybe we'll roller skates or ice skates next time. And he started to smile and he says, that's a prayer. That's a prayer. And of course his wife has to do for him, because he's not able. Okay? So would you do me a favor? Would you just take your right hand and put it over your heart, please? Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The tests that I go through
are truly designed by you.
Thank you for the gift of mercy that continues to be poured into me, so that I can go forward and then be a vessel to release healing and encouragement and life to those that are dying, those that are in the world. There are some of them that are dying. And you're the only one, Holy Spirit, that needs to prompt me to speak life into them as I'm speaking life into me right now. I don't want to forget that incredible oil, the oil of life that represents our Father himself and his Son Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and it is lighting me, keeping me light, radiating out to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And that includes those that are living in darkness. Might find me irritating. Give me grace and words of life for them as you direct. In Jesus' name, I pray. Again, I speak light to my heart. I speak life to my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to join us at the table.